Hello, everybody. We're back. It's 8 past the hour at 12. Chad Hartman, Dave Harrigan. News Talk 830 WCCO. Laura was alluding to downtown Minneapolis during the news update. As she pointed out, Al pointed out, part of the reason why it will be buzzing tomorrow afternoon. By the time they tap it, maybe 2:40 or so. Wolves, the number 3 seed against the Phoenix Suns, the number 6 seed. And the always tremendous John Krasinski from The Athletic will lead the show with us. Johnny, like all our guests, is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Hello, my friend. It is a unique situation when you were the number one seed more than anybody else throughout the Western Conference. You were in a battle for the number one seed the final day, but now you are the number 3 seed. And it's either pick 'em or you're the slight underdog. It's all because Phoenix, in the 3 games, won easily. The first one was a bit of a scheduling game, but the other two were just decisive wins for the Phoenix Suns. So knowing Chris Finch as well as you know him, for at least game one, does he stay true to his core principles of how the Wolves have played? Or does he say, listen, we've played these guys 3 times. We need to adjust. We need to tinker. And it will be discernible to fans to see how the Wolves are playing a little bit different than they normally play during the regular season.
Yeah, Chad, I think that's the great question because it's really a unique situation here where they played the Suns twice in the last couple of weeks of the regular season, and now you have a week to prepare almost for the playoffs. And so it feels like they have a large sample size to go off of and to decide, hey, do we make adjustments now or do we wait? It would have been different if, like, they played Phoenix once in November, once in December, and then once at the end of the season. It's harder to kind of put those things together. But with those 2 losses kind of in the last, 3 or 4 weeks of the season, I think it gave them more to chew on. That said, I anticipate that he is going to stay pretty true to the principles that got them the 56 wins and start there. I think that the ceiling for this team, and if there's a chance that they can go to the Western Conference Finals, to the finals, it's figuring out how to do the most damage with Karl-Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert in the front court and and play big and do it. They've said it all year long. We want to dictate to opponents, not the other way around. That said, Chad, I think if things go poorly in the first game, I don't think you can wait to adjust any longer than that. But I do think that they're going to kind of come out and be, this is who we are. We're just going to see if we can play better and be really good that way in game one.
That is the norm where a coach really, if any sport, I guess we'd go baseball, hockey, basketball, where it's a series where even if you're hesitant of how you match up, you say, let's give the true way we've played for the majority of the season a chance. And maybe it works. Maybe the playoffs are different. Maybe we've adjusted within, the base way we play. But then game two. It is interesting because even skeptics like me on, and I think the two of us agree on, they gave up too much for Rudy, but it's worked out in this second year. There's no denying that. I still think they could have made this deal with less draft choices. Blah, blah, blah. That's a separate topic for now. But Gobert and Towns have played very well off each other, both ends. It is interesting that referendum of how it work in the playoffs manifests itself against the team that tests it the most. So to me, the X factor is as much as anyone is Towns. Like, it's not easy to miss the time he did, to come back, and then, okay, do we put him on Grayson Allen, and he chases him? Do we put him on one of the 5 greatest scorers of all time in Kevin Durant? So what are you going to watch for Towns, especially in the first quarters? Because I've been reminded again, looking up some data myself, reading our mutual friend Britt Robson, your work. I mean, the Wolves have been dreadful in first quarters the last, 3 weeks or so. So with Carl in particular, what are you watching for?
Yeah, and I think that that's the key is the first quarter of game one is a big one. And Chris Finch said that, you know, a couple of days ago we asked him, and my first question to him was, what has to be different? He said, we have to start better. And that certainly does, I think, lead into Karl-Anthony Towns. He has to be aggressive offensively, but in a controlled way. And I think that sometimes what you worry about with Kat is in big moments, does he speed it up? Does he get a little frantic? Does he kind of handle that pressure? But we know that he's going to be challenged defensively with Grayson Allen, or if it's KD, whoever he is on. That's going to be a tough road for him in the series, just the way that they match up. But he has to be able to make them pay on the other end. And whether that is backing Grayson Allen down into the paint and a jump hook over his left shoulder like he likes to do, that's one thing. Or whether it's shooting 8 or 9 threes and making 5 of them, like that's another. But he has to be precise and under control in this game one. Like this, he knows that there's a lot riding on this for him in this series. If it doesn't go well, who knows what's going to happen this summer.
Yep.
He's going to get a lot of the blame, fair or not. And so him kind of trying to just play within himself and not force it, but also utilize the significant talent that he does have, that's the key to not only this series, but if they go to the finals, Chad, or if they go to the Western Conference Finals, I really think it's going to be because Karl-Anthony Towns played the best basketball of his life.
I think that is a great point from John Krasinski, The Athletic. He's with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline because it plays off. You know, a lot of teams, when they face an uber-talented scorer like the Wolves have in Edwards, you're going to try to load up on them. It's just worked more efficiently for a Phoenix team, which you wouldn't think they're very good defensively. But the last couple months, I think there's some data of defensive efficiency where they're maybe the fourth best defensive team in the league. So that plays off Towns and Edwards. Couple things. One, they both need to show composure. They both were just, composure was not even there last Sunday when they were pouting, and there were some bad calls. They didn't go against them. But again, let's not, let's limit our haze to maybe 30 on Saturday. And then when they're loading up on Ant, I think he's got to move the ball early. I really do. I don't think it should be the first quarter of, I'm just going to bulldoze my way through these guys. I think he needs to move the ball, because if you move the ball so, you know, and in the right way and space the floor, funny, the ball comes back. And the better way to move the ball is to have by far your best three-point shooter, even though he has a 5-6-inch height advantage on Allen, to be outside the arc. So I get it's tempting to post Carl. I wouldn't do that early. They have to create lanes for Edwards. Use your best three-point shooter to be an asset in that we, even though it sounds like, hey, come on, Grayson Allen is guarding him, put him on the block, let him wear him out. Carl really doesn't do that.
Yeah, I think that two things on that. One is I agree with you in that if he is outside and knocks down a few shots early, that will let him, that's his easiest offense, and that will let him calm down and get into the game in a much better manner. If he does get it on the block and thinks, I have to make something happen here, that's when the offensive fouls come. That's when the turnovers come.
And slows down the offense.
Yes, that's when the team struggles and it gets very stagnant. And so I agree. I think spacing with Kat is the absolute best solution to both of those issues of getting the ball moving and of stretching out the Phoenix defense. The reason that the Phoenix defense has worked so well against the Wolves is really even less about Ant and what he has or hasn't done, and more about, you know, Kat hasn't made threes against the Suns. Jaden McDaniels is getting wide open looks. He was 1 for 9 in those three games against the Suns. I think Kat was 1 for 8 from three in his two games. You know, Nikhil Alexander-Walker wasn't shooting at the same clip. Like, they have to have other guys on the floor who are going to get open shots. They have to knock them down. Ant is generally making a lot of the right plays. and getting off the ball and moving it. But the Suns can absolutely dare other people to beat them because they're like, this guy is not going to beat us. And so I really think their role players, their secondary scorers are going to be huge in this series, and they have to knock down those open shots. If not, then Phoenix can just pack the paint, double Ant, make it really hard on him, and then the Wolves are chasing points in a way you just do not want to do against this team.
I'm glad you brought up McDaniels, because I can make the argument he's either the third or fourth most important Wolves player in this series. He signed a massive contract. He clearly is a very good defensive player. I just think this year, to me, he's underachieved from where we thought he might go this year. The defense at times has been suffocating. Other times you're like, really? Come on. This is your calling card. There have been some games where he's hit those shots, other games where he's just still in the foul trouble and is missing shots. This has got to be a series when he's getting stretches against any of their top three scorers, who all can go for 35, where on a regular basis, you notice Jaden McDaniels' defense. It has to be noticeable. You know, it's not going to be 100%, but it can't be as in and out as it was during the regular season. And then you nailed it before. He can't just be a liability. He's not going to turn into Steph, but if he gives you 40%, even 35 to 40%, where they're, if he got to 50%, they wouldn't guard him more. They still would say, whatever, we'll stop. But he has to make it pay more often than he has in these other games, or else they're not going to change in any way on the loading up on Edwards at all.
Yeah, I mean, I do think the he got the contract that he did because there was a belief that he can be a real two-way player, that he's not just a lockdown defender, but that if you give him the opportunities, he's going to be able to do enough offensively to kind of support your stars. And there was a lot of evidence to that last year. He shot 39% from three. He was showing a little bit more off of the dribble. Like you could see, okay, there are steps that he can take to really become a true two-way player. This year, it has been disappointing offensively, especially. I mean, the three-point shot, I think he's down around 33%. It has not been reliable. Mm-hmm. And some of his decision-making offensively, when he takes it to the basket and when he doesn't, and some of the things that he forces are not good. And so he has to be much more efficient offensively for Phoenix to think and hesitate about loading up on Ant. If he does knock down those shots, all of a sudden you are going to see A, target center start to really rock, and B, then just a little step slower on the help defense to Ant. And when you are a little step slow on the help defense to Ant, he is by you and at the rim and dunking on you. And so it's just, there's going to be a lot of pressure on Jaden in that way. It's a hard job because he's not shooting, you know, 12, 15 shots a game and getting in a rhythm that way, but he's just got to be able to hit the big ones because there's so many that are going to be wide open looks. They're great looks. He's got to be able to do it for them to have any chance of kind of keeping up offensively this series.
Last thing, D'Lo at some point encouraged the fans, the dead ass fans. Yeah. Guys, quote: yeah. "We all got to step, got to go stand up till the Wolves score." Can we stop that now? D'Lo's gone. He's dead. He's moved on. Can we come up with our own little hook without relying on D'Lo? Can you come up? I don't know what it is. Maybe you rappel from the ceiling. I don't know what it might be. Can we come up with something other than standing up? Like, we're stealing other ideas. That's up to you. You're the main guy. I need you to come up with something so we're not relying on D'Angelo Russell's, hey, I don't know, let's stand up before we score.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, Chad, it'd be community service on my part, because with how poorly the Wolves have started, yes, in the last three, people are standing for half the first quarter before they get a bucket. Poor Glenn Taylor's 83 years old, yes, and he's having, yes, to stand up for all this. So I do think people would probably welcome that, yes, in some way, somehow. And I'll have to think about that a little bit, because, yeah, I think there have been some tired legs in Target, yes, Center the last 10 or 12 games, because when they just can't score to start here.
All right. Only my best to you later today, man. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Chad.
Johnny K. Wolves, Suns tomorrow. We'll clearly talk about it on Monday. Okay. It's horrible outside today. It just is. It's miserable. It's terrible. Your favorite season. You love spring. You're Mr. Spring.
Don't do that. Don't.
You're
Mr.
Spring over there. Okay. Just go ahead. I don't care. You want to give me right answers. You give me wrong answers. Why in the hell do we live here? Why in the hell do we live here? What happened? What did God? Why does God hate us? Why does somebody else hate us? I mean, go outside. It's miserable. I mean, don't tell me it's fine. Don't tell me, oh, go ahead, move. My family's here. I like some things here. But it doesn't have to be. My thermometer says right now 12 below in downtown Minneapolis.
Might be slightly off, but it's close.
Yeah, it's close. And it's windy. It's
been dreadful all week. Nice of you to hang around for it.
It was way better when I was in Florida playing golf. You know, it's just way, way better when I'm in Palm Desert doing the show out there. Why do we live here? Please tell me. Wrong or right answers. Don't forget. Somebody who lives here now once was a governor and said if he was on the ballot in every fifth, let's go with how many states. Let's go Obama and said 57. I'm going to go 50. He said, Jesse Ventura said, if I was on every ballot, every state, all 50, and I had a chance to debate Joe Biden and Donald Trump, I would win. That guy, Jesse Ventura, is about 10 minutes away on News Talk 830 WCCO. By the way, why do we live here? Text me on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text lines, 651-461-9226. Admit it, we're all being held hostage.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
The real queen of the world, Taylor, not one album, the double album.
Boom! What a surprise.
I mean, she can do whatever she wants. I mean, does Travis Kelce listen to some of these tunes directed at some of the other guys? And now Kimmy Kay and just say, please, for the love of God, I hope we stay together. And there's a lot from T-Swift, so we'll play T-Swift today. Accurate or inaccurate reasons why we live here. 651-461-9226. We live here so we can listen to you live and local. Very kind. My advice, go somewhere else and podcast us. I mean, that's my advice.
Streaming worldwide.
Yes, yes. Find ways to consume us. We'd love to have you podcast us. Odyssey app, Apple, you name it, Chad Hartman Show. I only live here because my 89-year-old mother still does. You know what? Take mom to Palm Desert. You know?
She'd enjoy it more.
Take her to Mesa, Arizona. Take her to Naples, Florida. Take her to Austin, Texas. Come on, Mom. Let's get out of here. We live here because the people in our lives we want to live near are insane and don't want to live elsewhere. That's so good. We like paying higher taxes. That's why we live here. No, we don't. You're staring outside.
I'm just looking at the pellets still falling, the pellets that pounded me in the eyeballs for 15 minutes walking in here. That's why I live here. Keep my eyeballs strong and tough.
By the way, if one of you texts me at 651-461-9226 until 3 o'clock and tells me that it's snowing where you're at, I may get in my car and run you down.
But do you have pictures of any snow that has fallen perhaps on your patio, on your deck, on your front front step? Please email them to adam.carter@odyssey.com.
Yeah, that's it. You text me at 651-461-9226. The two of us will hunt you down in our car. I'm not sure what we're going to do. We're going to hunt you down. But we'll love you if adam.carter@odyssey.com, you take pictures and send those to him. Jesse Ventura is minutes away. It is always a pleasure when the former governor of the state of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura, joins us. We have politics in pot on the agenda tomorrow. Yes, 420 Ventura Farms available. He will tell you all the details about it, including a party taking place for 420. Jesse, like all our guests, is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Hello, my friend. How are you?
Hi, Chad. How are you doing? I just got back in town. I spent this winter down in Tucson.
Oh, well, as an ASU grad, I would prefer you to spend that in Tempe myself. But how how was Tucson?
Well, actually, I sold my home in Mexico.
Okay.
Because I used to be down on the tip of the Baja.
Yep.
And this is about halfway. So I now go, Tucson, they told me it was a bit cold. I was a bit disappointed this winter that the temperatures were actually pretty cold. And they said it's been that way for the last 2 years, kind of out of kilter.
Yeah,
and in today's world, the way the weather is, it's right. You kind of fully expect craziness like that.
Yeah, that's our pattern right now. And
yeah.
If we try this modern thing called science, we can try to help that a little bit, or we can listen to people or tell it's fake news.
Sure.
Well,
what was interesting, Chad, was there was a couple days I was down there. Minnesota was only 8 degrees colder than Tucson.
Yeah, you know, I was in Palm Desert myself, and it was actually a little nicer there. And, like, my friends would taunt me, oh, it's pretty nice back here. I'm like, I'm still pretty good down here. I'm still okay. All right, let's start politics, and then let's get to everything that's going on with your new business venture. I saw you. I watched you on Aaron Burnett last night, and the headline was, you said if you were running for the president of the United States, and if you were on every ballot in every state and were allowed to debate Joe Biden and Donald Trump, you would win. What most convinces you of that?
Well, simple, Chad. Back, if we turn the clock back to 1998, when I ran here in Minnesota, I went against Hubert Skip Humphrey. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Hubert Humphrey's son.
Yep.
And Mayor Coleman, Senator Coleman.
Sure.
And I won. The reason I made that statement is because Attorney General Humphrey and Mayor Coleman were not disliked. They were both popular candidates, and I just beat them, and they were two popular candidates. These two candidates... And this election is so unpopular, nobody is looking forward to it. Nobody I know is excited to vote in it. And I just think that these two are way more vulnerable because of their negative ratings. I mean, they're the two highest negative candidates in U.S. presidential history.
So I will jump in and say I have for 30-some years voted for third-party candidates, including you in 98. I have voted for other individuals who ran but didn't get to the finale because I felt like if someone runs, I want to pick the person who I think would be the best governor, senator, council member, president of the United States. Sadly, for the presidency, we're not there yet. What is going to allow us to get there, Jesse? If we're having this conversation four election cycles from now, will it still be the Democrats and Republicans dominating this? Because it probably will be, and that's a mistake.
Well, part of the problem is the media's in their back pocket, too. They're all cohorts in this. You notice how the media treats third-party candidates. They slough them off. Yeah. They channel them down. They won't, give them their fair shake.
You're just giving your vote to somebody else.
It's the two-party dictatorship.
Yep, it is. I agree with
you. And you notice when anything threatens the two parties, they get in bed together and sing Kumbaya to stop it. That's standard operating procedure with these guys. The best way we could save our country right now, believe it or not, is to elect an independent president to send them a message. That was my big thing when I met with Robert Kennedy. I met with Robert Kennedy. He chose his running mate, but he did talk to me about it, running with him. And that's what I told, the advice that I told him, too.
So let's talk about that meeting a little bit. Remind folks, the familiar voice is Jesse Ventura with us. when you met with them, and you told Aaron Burnett on CNN last night, you met with them for a couple hours.
Yep.
If at the end of that meeting, Jesse, he would have said, I've paid attention to you for a long time. This conversation has only convinced me further that I want you to be my vice presidential nominee. Would you have said yes?
Very likely, probably.
How come?
Because to me, the differences I would have with him policy-wise right now, which we do have probably a few major ones, but I also understand the pecking order of the chain of command. And to me, the most important thing right now in this country is uniting the country back together. We're on the verge of a civil war, in my opinion, in this country, created by Donald Trump.
And
the point is, Democrats and Republicans are not going to solve it. It's the same as when I governed here in Minnesota. When I governed here, I had a Democratic Senate and a Republican House. Generally, whoever I sided with prevailed until the last year. The last year is when they jumped in bed together, opposed me. They wouldn't accept my budget. They came forward with their budget. I vetoed it twice. I then fooled them. I didn't seek re-election and work under their budget. And they subsequently put Minnesota in a $5 billion deficit because they politicized the budget in an attempt to get me, and I fooled them. I didn't seek re-election. And they were left with, what do we do now? How do we fix our own mess? But you see what I'm getting at? They will sacrifice the people for their own political gain. And that's what you have with the two parties. So getting back to Bobby Kennedy,
yep.
To me, the most important thing was having the opportunity to defeat these two parties and send a message to them. You don't want to do your job? Fine. We'll elect independents to come in here. What a message that would have been to send these two parties to not elect their two choices and to send two neutral people in there. That would be the opportunity for the American voter to put these two parties back in place.
I want to get to Ventura Farms in just a couple questions. Let me stay with this. When you found out the RFK Jr. had selected someone else, were you disappointed?
No, not a bit, because I can stay retired. I can focus on my new job. He probably saved my life when he made another choice. Because I would have had to go 100% full bore. I don't run to lose. And the only thing I'll say is this. In my opinion, Bobby made a choice. And I disagree with it, because in a third-party race, you make a choice for votes, not money.
Yeah, that seems like what he did.
And no, people fall under, I call it the Hillary Clinton syndrome. And that's where Donald Trump beat Hillary. And what the Hillary Clinton syndrome is to me is you go out and hold fundraisers. Well, what did Donald Trump do? He did what I did. He held rallies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to me, they live under this premise that somehow money equals votes. And to a certain extent, it does, of course, because you can hire more people to go out there and try to get your votes. But I don't believe necessarily money wins an election, because I proved it. Chad, I only raised $300,000 when I won governor of Minnesota.
What one Trump question. You know, it's not like you guys were best friends, but you knew each other years before when he was mainly a centrist, center left. He would work with whoever benefited him, okay? He now occasionally bumps into the truth. About once every couple of weeks, he says something which is accurate. What do you think happened?
Nothing. I think it's him.
That's just who he's been all along?
Yep. I don't think anything happened.
All right, let's talk.
I mean, this is a guy who bought his way out of military service. You know, he's lived for himself his whole life. He was his father and him, the properties they had and all that, you know, his real estate empires and all that. To me, he hasn't changed. He's the same person.
Okay, let's talk Ventura Farms. Why are you doing this?
Well, I'm doing this because I'm fully dedicated to cannabis and to marijuana because it saved, I think I've told you the story, but it saved our lives. The first lady, over a decade ago, she developed epileptic seizure disorder and was seizing 2 to 3 times a week. And these were the kind of debilitating seizures, Chad, where down on the floor, making sure she's not swallowing her tongue, making sure she's breathing. I mean, they were hell, to put it bluntly.
Yep.
And went to the doctor. They put her on 4 different seizure medicines, one after the other with pharma. None of them worked. They all had bad side effects. In desperation, we drove to Colorado, who had lifted the prohibition. They were, thank goodness for Colorado. They lifted the prohibition. We went out there illegally, and our friends went in and bought us the drops under the tongue that we had heard about. My wife took the drops under the tongue that day over a decade ago and has not had a seizure since.
Well, as a father of someone who has a son who suffers from seizures, that resonates greatly with me. So let's talk a lot about your work with Retro Bakery and the party, which is going to take place, and then the product, which you're going to provide. By the way, I am available to sample the product. I am willing to try said product, and will have no hesitation trying said product.
Okay, great. We'll be happy to give you said product.
Sure. Let's go.
Chad, all I ask from you is go on your show and tell people how good it is.
Yeah, I'll give an honest appraisal. I will. So how about tomorrow's party? Tell me about it.
Well, it's really, you ought to be talking to my son.
Okay.
Because Tyrell's the one. In fact, this is truly his business. Let me explain that. It's him and 3 of his partners. They got together 3 to 4 years ago and looked at doing a business venture, and this is what they came up with, and they approached me, and I was more than happy to lend them my name, likeness, and all the copyright stuff that goes with Governor Jesse Ventura. And for me in this whole deal, here's what I want out of it. You know, I've done a lot of things, and I've known for a lot of things, from wrestling to politics to you name it. But now my goal, I want to achieve what Paul Newman did. Putting his face on the spaghetti sauce and all that. There's a whole generation that doesn't even know Paul Newman was an actor.
Yeah. And he might be the greatest actor ever.
Well, he's up there.
Yeah.
And yet they know him for spaghetti sauce.
Yeah.
He's the guy with the pitcher on the spaghetti sauce.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I want to do with cannabis. I want my picture with it. And I want to generate young generations to come up and go, oh, that's Jesse Ventura. He's the guy on the cannabis gummies.
What's the best way for the audience to find out more about Ventura Farms?
Go to the Internet, of which I don't do. You know, I'm still Internet ignorant and all that, but I would tell you, you know, go to Ventura Farms, go to Retro
Bakery. Retro Bakery? Yep.
Yeah. Go to any of that on the Internet. We've got packages there. In fact, we're naming them. We've got a whole thing, and we simply named it Lake Street.
There we go. I like it. All right, I got to go.
It's the Lake Street package, because we're trying to make it and tie it in with me, and I grew up by Lake Street.
I know you did. That's great stuff. I always appreciate it, sir. Let's chat again soon. I wish you only the best with your new venture.
Okay, thanks, Chad. We'll get that care package to you, and I'll let you sell it for me.
I will. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Have a good one.
Jesse Ventura here on CCO at 52 past 12. I enjoy the conversations with Jesse. He definitely generates a reaction. And, you know, I'm a believer in Minnesota commerce, so I feel like I'm required to try a little bit. I believe in Minnesota.
Yeah, you're doing it for the people.
I am. I really believe in Minnesota, maybe June through September 10th.
Give them the end of May.
That's, yeah.
Well,
tied to my birthday, so that works. You know, your Lindus Construction Time Check is time for me to stop talking. It's time for you to invest in clog-free leaf guard gutters and get 75% off installation labor. Major's still a part of the show. Don't worry. He's just a part of a trial, so Major back hopefully soon.